The limit is the point at which a race car driver's level of risk slips from necessary to nuts. In The Limit, subtitled Life and Death on the 1961 Grand Prix Circuit and just issued in paperback, Michael Cannell explores that phenomenon as it applies to numbers of drivers, many of whom sailed past the limit and into whatever mystery comes next, sometimes taking scores of spectators with them. Michael Cannell joins me from NPR New York. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your book builds to the dramatic and deadly 1961 Grand Prix season, but you include stories of a lot of extraordinary races in the 50s, one of which has drivers traveling from the border of Guatemala and Mexico to Mexico's border with the U.S. Tell us a little bit about the challenges of that competition.
Yeah, you're referring to the Carrera Panamericana, which was a short-lived race in the mid-50s. It was meant to publicize the opening of a highway that ran the length of Mexico south to north. And it was the site of an annual race, which most people have never heard of, but really has to qualify as one of the deadliest and wildest events imaginable. Treacherous mountain passes with winding roads with cliffs on either side, and drivers flying along with no idea of what lay around the next corner, and they flew off of the road one after another. The locals would sometimes take down the warning signs on the road, and they would stand in a hidden spot and watch as the cars flew off of the cliffs. And this happened to the story's protagonist, Phil Hill, and his co-driver. They went off of a cliff, and they were lucky enough to survive. Many did not.
I was not surprised by your accounts of drivers who died racing in the middle years of the 20th century. I was surprised at the carnage among spectators. Attending some of these Grand Prix races seems to have been exceptionally dangerous.
Exceptionally dangerous, and most notoriously in the 1955 24-hour race at Le Mans, where a Mercedes spun up into the grandstand, killing more than 80 spectators. It was a scene of incredible carnage. And to give you an idea of how different the sensibility about these things was back then, they didn't stop the race. The race just continued.
Your book builds to the competition between Phil Hill and the German driver Count Wolfgang von Trips as it played out in 1961. Tell us a little about Phil Hill.
Well, I like to think of Phil Hill as the greatest American champion that Americans have never heard of. He not only won the Grand Prix, the Formula One championship, but he did it at a time when just to survive was a great accomplishment. And when he went home after winning the championship, it was a bittersweet experience for Hill. People didn't know who he was. They didn't really know, for the most part, what Formula One was. He went home and he sat in his living room and listened to music. And he was never acknowledged as a champion.
There must have been lots of rivalries during the 50s and 60s on the Grand Prix circuit. But what made the rivalry between Phil Hill and Count Wolfgang von Trips so particularly interesting to you?
There were many rivalries, and as you say, and most of those rivalries had to do with nationalism. And the memories of World War II were still very raw, and it was as if the ancient grudges of Europe were being fought on these racetracks. Phil Hill, as an American, brought a very, very different sensibility. He and Wolfgang von Trips, they were opposites in every imaginable way. Wolfgang von Trips, he embraced the danger. He accepted that the danger was part of the sport. Phil Hill detested the danger. And in fact, he was so nervous and overwrought that at times he traveled with crates of baby food because it was the only food that he could digest.
Another of the intriguing characters you describe in the book is Enzo Ferrari himself, the man who built the world's finest race cars, at least for a time. You found that he had an effective way of putting even very important people in their place when they came to visit his factory.
Yeah, Enzo Ferrari has to qualify as one of the world's great geniuses. He created a brand that has thrived all of these years, and yet he was a very dark and Machiavellian character. I always thought he seemed like one of the villains in a James Bond movie. He drew movie stars and heads of state and prime ministers and millionaires from all over the world. They would come to Maranello, where the Ferrari factory was, and Enzo Ferrari would take great pleasure in making them wait in a little dreary little cubicle. No matter who they were, how rich they were, or how important they were, he came from a very, very humble background, and he wanted to make the point that even though he was not a gentleman, that there was a kind of pride, and he made sure that he made that point.
I want to return to Phil Hill with my last question, Michael, because he is such an important part of your book. You refer to him as among the last drivers of his breed to leave the sport. How does today's breed of drivers differ from Phil Hill?
It's like night and day. When Phil Hill raced, he often drove his own car. He had no media handlers. The races were largely not covered by television. There was no sponsorship money. They made money as drivers, but not much money. They did it out of a love for the sport and a love for the cars. And they were exposed to extraordinary danger.
Michael Connell is the author of The Limit, Life and Death on the 1961 Grand Prix Circuit. The paperback edition has just been published by Hatchett Book Group, and the author joined me from NPR in New York. Michael, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.
Ignorant race car driver, where are you going so fast? Race car driver, how do you keep it on the road? Race car driver, how do you keep it on the road?
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. We had help this week from Wendy Schwartz, Monica Brady-Meyeroff, Jessica Alpert, and Emery Siebertson. Our intern is Martin Kessler, and our senior producer is Gary Wallen. You can check out our photo galleries by visiting our website, onlyagame.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from Deadspin's Barry Pachesky, who disparages a predatory bird curiously popular with team nicknamers.
Yeah, please, a hawk, nothing.
You better watch out, Barry, or the hawks will attack, unless your pals the Pelicans have your back. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. The Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration to address the world's pressing environmental problems. And the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. This is NPR.